It is certainly wonderful to have the privilege of returning again to 39th Street and to be a part of another good lectureship emphasizing the teaching of the Word of the Lord. You are a wonderful group of people. I just don't know of any congregation anywhere of more devoted, dedicated Christians than here at this congregation. Brother Jack has done a great work with this church over the years. You love and appreciate him and his family and appreciate the work that he has done and continues to do. All of us love and appreciate him and the good elders and deacons of this congregation and all that make it up. I appreciate your love and your kindness for the Word of God. We're going to study some very important statements in this lectureship. Already we've had one good lecture, and at this time we're going to notice another very important statement. The lectureship has to do with the words or the sentences beginning with the word except. And you may open your Bibles now at the third chapter of the book of John. John wrote on the life of Christ, and he tells us something in the early verses of this chapter of something that happened in the beginning of the Lord's personal ministry. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus was a very prominent man, a member of the religious sect called Pharisees. They believed in the resurrection of the dead and a future life. But he was also a member of the religious court called the Sanhedrin. And so he's spoken of as the ruler of the Jews. Why he came to the Lord by night, we do not know. The Bible doesn't say. But anyway, he was honest in saying, we know you must come from God because of the miracles that you've been doing. No human being can perform the miracles like you have been doing. But Jesus knew what was in his mind and on his heart concerning the kingdom of the Lord. John the Baptist had been preaching, you must repent, the kingdom is near or at hand. Jesus was saying, the kingdom is near. The Jews thought that the Messiah, whoever comes, will establish an earthly, material kingdom. And we are not beyond the reign and the rule of the Romans, who had charge of Palestine at that time, the Roman Empire, the Caesars. Jesus knew that. And he knew that the kingdom of the church would be composed of people obeying the gospel, being born again, being added to it by the Lord. And so he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into it to enjoy the blessings in it. He must be born again." Well, Nicodemus said, I don't understand that. How can a man that's an old man, such as I am, be born again? Must he enter into his mother's womb and be born? No, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about another physical birth. It is a spiritual birth. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Well, what is the new birth? What does it mean to be born again? As the lesson has been announced, and as Brother Jack mentioned, salvation depends upon being born again. Let's think first of all about the kingdom. It was to be a spiritual kingdom, and for all mankind. There is a similarity in a physical birth and the spiritual birth. And so Jesus used this figure of speech. There is the begetting and the delivery, and the child is born. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, "Whosoever believeth in God," or in the Lord, "is begotten," or born of God. Our King James translation uses the word "born of God," but the American Standard Version uses the word "begotten of God." How are we begotten? In James 1 and verse 18, James, writing the Christian, said, "Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth." We're begotten by the word of truth. Or we are made believers by the word of truth. In Romans 10 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So an individual then who comes to believe in the Lord is begotten of God. And he is begotten through the teaching of the Word of the Lord. In the parable of the sower that Jesus gave, or the soils, he said, as we read in Luke 8 and verse 11, that the seed is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the seed of the kingdom. The germ of life is in the seed. It reproduces after its kind. When the Apostle Paul went to the city of Corinth, that wicked city, and preached, we read in Acts 18 and verse 8 that many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Later, Paul wrote them a letter. And in first letter, chapter 4, he said, "I have begotten you through the gospel. I had a part in preaching the gospel to you, by which you have become begotten and obedient and become the children of God." So that's how people are born again. Now then, what does it mean to be born of the Spirit and of water? We hear the Holy Spirit's teaching given by inspired men. We come to believe in Christ, the Son of God, and then we are baptized. Born of water refers, of course, to baptism. We are buried with Christ in baptism and raised up therefrom, as a new creature, to walk in newness of life. That's the teaching of the Bible. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said, "We are buried with Christ in baptism." It is a burial and a resurrection, scriptural baptism is. So in that sense, born of water, come forth from the watery grave. Jesus was born from the dead, as we read in Colossians chapter 1. So that figure of speech could be used concerning baptism. The individual then that is obedient to the teaching of the Lord and is baptized into Christ enters into the spiritual realm of the church, or is added by the Lord to the church. He's in the kingdom of the Lord. When Christ said, I'll build my church, he said, I'll give unto you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom. He used church and kingdom as synonyms. They both mean the same thing. So that's individual then is in the kingdom. And Nicodemus, you must be born again. Just because you are a Jew, when the church is established, will not automatically make you a member of the new spiritual kingdom that I am to build, that is the church. You will have to be born again. You must be born again. No other way to enter into it, but except you're born of water and of the Spirit. Now, there are those in the religious world today who do not teach this. And they teach, well, just believe in the Lord and maybe pray the sinner's prayer or say, I love the Lord, and you're saved, and then you ought to join some church, meaning join a denomination. And your name will be put on the church roll as a member of the church. An individual might do that and still not be in the Lord's kingdom, as we know. Jesus didn't say, like some are saying, you are born of water when you're born physically, and then you're born of the Spirit when you get a direct operation of the Holy Spirit on your heart, and then you're saved. He said, a man must be born again. Well, he's already born physically, if he's a man. He must be born both of water and of the Spirit. Both expressions are used. Now, one way to explain this would be to take the examples in the book of Acts. After the church was established on the day of Pentecost, what about it? Well, let's begin with the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up with the 11 and preached Jesus Christ, the Son of God, raised from the dead. They were pricked or pierced in their hearts, and they cried out asking, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer was, not do anything, because if you believe in Jesus. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, well, pray the sinner's prayer. Now, I'll lead you in that little prayer, and you say that prayer, and when you say that, then you're saved. Now, that might have been said this morning on the radio program or some of the TV programs. But Peter didn't say that, did he? Read the second chapter of the book of Acts. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. And about 3,000 that day gladly received the word and were baptized. And the chapter closes by saying that day by day, daily, the Lord added to the church such as should be saved, or those that were being saved, added to the church. Now, there it is. Were they born again? Yes. Of water and of the Spirit? Yes. Are they now in the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's church? Yes. Now, there it is. That explains it. Take for an example in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Philip preaching to the man from Ethiopia. He had made a long trip to worship, not knowing that the Old Testament law was over and had ceased and the New Testament was now in effect and the church had been established. But he was reading from the book of Isaiah on the way back home in his chariot. The Lord knew he was an honest person and so directed Philip to come and to meet the man. As Philip joined him in the road, he heard him reading aloud. And he said to him, you understand what you're reading? Well, he answered, how can I except someone should guide me? He more or less moved over, I guess, in the seat and said, sit with me and tell me about this. And he, beginning at that scripture, the prophecy concerning Christ, as given by Isaiah, in chapter 53 in our Bibles, he told him about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, and that Jesus said, before he went back to heaven, go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, as they rode on the way, they came unto a certain water. And he said, well, here is water. What doth hinder me in being baptized? And Philip answered and said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So they stopped the chariot. They both go down into the water. The man is baptized. He's immersed for the remission of sins, of course. And they come up out of the water. And the Spirit carries Philip away somewhere else. But this man goes on his way happy and rejoicing. Is he a born-again person? I would say so. I would say so, don't you? Is he in the Lord's church? Yes. Added to it by the Lord? Yes. Now there it is. Can we understand what it means to be born again of water and of the Spirit? Certainly so. There's a good example of it. And others could be cited from the Bible. And people need to understand that today. But there's the example. And in that early day of preaching, thousands of people heard the gospel of Christ. Paul was a great missionary and went to various places preaching the gospel of our Lord. And that's what the true church of our Lord is endeavoring to do today. What you're doing, and gospel preachers who are in this audience, and others, we want to tell as many as we can in every way that's possible, by radio and tracks, television, whatever it may be, the gospel of Christ, and ask of people to obey the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the sad things today is that people are not being told that. And they're being told that you're saved and you're now a child of God, when they have not obeyed the gospel. They have not been baptized in the Christ for the remission of sins. Maybe they've had a little water sprinkled or poured on their heads, but that is not a burial and a resurrection. And in the Bible, now you listen to it, you cannot read where water and water alone was ever sprinkled on anybody by the Lord's authority for any purpose. New Testament baptism is not a little water sprinkled on the head of a person. Not at all. And yet I have been in the countries where that was predominantly the so-called baptism in the religious minds of people. How individuals need to read the Bible and understand the teaching of the Word of the Lord. Then again, of course, an individual must be old enough to understand and to know what the Bible teaches and obey from the heart the teaching of the Word of the Lord. Infant baptism is not taught in the Bible. Infants are pure and they're saved. And of such is the kingdom of heaven. And that is the teaching of God's Word. Nicodemus may have been surprised at this time, but later I'm sure he came to realize what it means to listen to the Word of the Lord. But must one individual do this? And the answer is yes. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. There is no other way. Now then, if this is right, and it is, then everything different from this is wrong, because it's contrary to the teaching of the Word of the Lord. And gospel preachers are not being unkind when they say to people, this is what the Bible says, and we love you, and we want to help you, but we want you to do the will of the Lord. while you live here upon this earth. Now then, I'd like for us to think, as people use the expression today, well, he's a born-again Christian. Well, there is no other kind of a Christian but a born-again Christian. If he has obeyed the gospel of Christ sincerely from the heart, he's a Christian, been born again. But, of course, they often use that in the denominational way about someone who's so-called joined the church and is a born-again Christian. We've all been born again. We're children of God. Now then, we're children of God. And God is our Heavenly Father. And we can pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." It's great to love one another. And John emphasized the fact that we are to love the brethren and love each other and to help each other. And you're my brother, you're my sister, and I'm your brother in the family of the Lord today. And someday, the faithful ones will be gathered into that eternal home of the soul we call heaven. How beautiful heaven must be. How great it will be to live with all the redeemed, the faithful ones, forever and forever in the eternal home of the soul. Jesus said to his disciples before he left them, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We love that verse, don't we? We certainly do. And we look forward someday of enjoying the beauties and the joys of heaven forever and forever. So, we can say to people, your salvation depends upon you being born again and becoming a child of God, a Christian, and added by the Lord to the spiritual family, the church. Here's something else that we need to thank this congregation for, and that is that these lessons are going to be sent throughout all of the world by means of what we call the Internet. We live in an age where that can be done. As someone remarked to me the other day, we can preach a lesson now and it can be heard tomorrow or next week in another part of the world. Isn't that wonderful? And we hope that souls will study this subject and will obey the gospel of Christ and be saved. We may never know about it in this life, but we may learn about it at the judgment or in eternity. I hope so. There are souls that will be touched by the teaching of the Word of God in this lectureship, maybe for ages to come. We don't know how great it is to learn God's will and to tell it to other people and ask them to study the Bible and obey the Bible, the Word of God. And I want to say, if someone is listening now at this time to what has been said from the third chapter of the book of John, just remember that you're going to be baptized and become a Christian and worship with Christians upon the first day of the week, as we do here in this nation, in this city. And you can live the Christian life and go to heaven when this earthly life is over. Sometimes people will say, "Well, I don't see any need of being baptized. Does the water save?" No, the water doesn't save. Christ is the Savior, but we are to obey Christ and to do His will. Later on in this chapter, we read, "For as Moses made the brazen serpent and told the people, 'You are to look on that serpent to be healed,' they were healed." But I like to think of the one that John recorded in the 9th chapter of the book of John about the man born blind. And Jesus found him And they spat on the ground and rubbed clay on his eyes and said, go down to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he went and he washed and he came seeing. Why? Because he did what Jesus told him to do. Now I ask this question. Would he have received his sight if he had refused to go to the pool of Siloam and wash? Well, of course he would have. Did the water in the pool of Siloam, and I've been to that pool, cure him of his blindness? Was the power in the water? No, the Lord did it. But when? When he did what the Lord told him to do. Now, friends, it's that simple. When is one saved and forgiven and pardoned and added by the Lord to the church? When he does what the Lord tells him to do. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he said to this man, you go and wash. He went, he washed, he received his sight, the blessing from the Lord, because he did what the Lord told him to do. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and just to take him at his word and do what he says. I'd like to close, therefore, by saying, take God at his word, believe what he says, do what he commands, and he will fulfill his blessings. If you're present in this audience this morning, and you have not confessed your faith in Christ, and been buried with the Lord in baptism for the remission of sins, we want you to step forward with the singing the song of encouragement to obey the gospel. Everything is ready. The baptistry is filled, the change of clothing for men and women, boys and girls at hand. Please do it. Don't wait and don't put it off. If you're a member of the church and you haven't been faithful and devoted and dedicated to the Lord's work in days past, you need to acknowledge wrongs. Ask God's forgiveness and the prayers of Christian people in your behalf. Brother Jack will be standing here to the front. Let us stand while we sing the song of invitation.